anybody feeling as blessed as I am today? I guess not. Let me ask that again. Is anybody feeling as blessed as I am on today? Hey, that's more like it. What a tremendous opportunity it was. And again, let me say, yes, I had a bit of a vacation. I've had several people come to me and say, how was your vacation? And let me just tell everybody, Gabriel Jr. was there. So we made the best of it. Right, Corinne? Brian, thanks so much for being here. Lizzie, appreciate y'all. My good friend. This morning we're going to be in the book of Genesis. I know what you're thinking. New beginning, Genesis. Okay, it's going to be one of those days. We'll be in Genesis chapter number 35. And we're going to be looking at the first 15 verses. When you found it, I would ask that you would stand to your feet. The reading of God's holy word, Genesis chapter number 35, verses 1 through 15. Old Testament, first book of the Torah or Pentateuch. Genesis chapter number 35, verses 1 through 15. And I just want to read into your hearing today just the first part of verse 1, if that's all right. Genesis chapter number 35, beginning with verse 1. Here's how my Bible reads. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. That's enough. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. NASB, Genesis 35, verse number 1a reads, then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Northos, I'd just like to speak to your hearts this morning briefly from this subject. Now is the time to fulfill your vow to God. Now is the time to fulfill your vow to God. Show of hands this morning, if you will. How many thank God for bringing you into 2025? Amen. Amen. All right. Somebody here knows that a new year represents a new opportunity for a fresh start, no doubt. So how many of you made at least one New Year's resolution? Show of hands. At least one New Year, say, wait, we way past that. Look, all the young people got their hands up. Y'all, look over there and see. I'm not making this up. I appreciate you, young people. How many made at least two New Year's resolutions? Look at that. All right, don't be scared. Anybody make three New Year's resolutions? I'm not going to ask what they were. Wow. Y'all, give her a hand. That young lady made three New Year's resolutions. It's an amazing thing. And that's what I like about our passage this morning, because here in our text, Jacob, recognizing that God had allowed him another opportunity for a fresh start, resolutely decides that now is the time that I will fulfill my vow to God. You remember seven chapters ago in Genesis chapter number 28, we read it in our responsive reading. Chapter 28 commenced the scene with Jacob on the lamb, the Padan Aram, fleeing from the face of his brother Esau after having stolen or tricked him out of his birthright there in Genesis 27. Soon after, Jacob departed from Beersheba. The Bible says that he had an encounter, if you will, with the Lord through a dream. Well, God promised to divinely ordain Jacob's journey. Undoubtedly, Jacob has seen the hand of the Lord, his God, move mightily on his behalf and time again throughout his journey. During times of great distress, I know no one here knows about any great distress, but during times of great distress, we've even seen Jacob go so far as to remind God of the no less than 10 powerful promises previously made to Jacob. We read them there this morning in responsive reading. They're recorded in Genesis chapter number 28, verses 13 through 15. And I know we've already read them, but if you will, count them with me, if you will. Genesis 28, 13 through 15. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. That's the promise of perfection. Somebody say one. I am the Lord, the promise of perfection, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. Number two, that is the promise of patriarchy. Number, the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. That's the promise of prosperity. Your descendants, that's the fourth promise of posterity, will also be like the dust of the earth. That's the promise of proliferation. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. That's the promise of propagation. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's the promise of prophecy. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. That is the promise of protection. And will bring you back to this land. That is the promise of repatriation. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That is the 10th and final promise of preservation. Boy, y'all some lousy counters. Here in our text, Genesis 35, it's been at least 20 years since Jacob began his journey. And he has yet to return to Bethel. It's almost as though every time God delivered on his word to Jacob, the latter seems to come down with a mild case of spiritual amnesia, if you will. Either losing the sense of obligation to actually fulfill his vow to God or forgetting his pledge altogether. Family, some of us closed out 2024 with the same indifference towards our vows to God. Oh, yeah, I had a sneaky feeling that it would get quiet right about there. So let me say it again. Family, some of us, I suppose, closed out 2024 with the same indifference towards our vows that we have made to God. And yet God, through his loving kindness and tender mercies, has ushered us into the dawn of a brand new year in 2025. That's good news, Larry. And this morning, God is speaking to us through his word that now is the time that we fulfill our word to him. Northos, God says, first of all, I bought you into 2025, so know that I am requiring, number one, the consummation of your pledge. God says, I require the consummation of your pledge, Northos. It's right there in verse number one. And this speaks to, get this, a revisited vow. God says, let me bring some stuff back up to help you with your troubles. It's right there in verse number one. Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and live there. Make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. Now, family, understand, Jacob has been chilling, parlaying in a place called Shechem. Shechem represents, family, our ego problem. Let me say that again. I didn't say it represents your ego problem. I said Shechem represents our ego problem. Where's four? I think he might be wanting to throw something at me. Four, you in here? Shechem represents our ego problem. In their book, Lead Like Jesus, Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges contend, quote, one of the key distortions that affect leader effectiveness is the ego-driven edging God out, the ego-driven fixation on short-term results at the expense of long-term integrity. It blocks our intention to serve rather than be served. Lord says we got an ego problem. Interesting thing. I like what it says there in Genesis 28, verses 18 through 22. We read 10 through 17. Let me pick up what happened after God made those no less than 10 promises. I'm holding up 10 fingers. Come on, you can't get it wrong. No less than 10 promises to Jacob there in 13 through 15. Let me show you Jacob's response to our great God. Genesis 28, verse 18 to 22. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. On its top. He called the name of that place Beth-El. That's two words in the original language. Beth, meaning house, and El, meaning Elohim, Yahweh, God. Beth-El, house of God. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house. And of all that which you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Oh, the Lord said some good words to Jacob. Jacob woke up and said, man, God, your good words make me want to say some good words back to you. Ah, Lord, if you do everything you said that you're going to do for me, you're going to be my God. And surely I'm going to give you a tenth of everything you bless me with. And Shechem, Israel, who was blessed by God, that is Jacob, Israel, who was blessed by God, has reverted back to being Jacob. Let me say that again. The problem Jacob had in Shechem is that Israel, who was blessed by God, had reverted back to being the trickster, Jacob. Family, have we too reverted back to operating in human effort? Have we forgotten that God declared back in Genesis? Look at Genesis chapter number 32, verses 24 through 29. Let me read that to you. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, against Jacob, he, the man, touched the socket of Jacob's thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated when he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he, the man, said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. Now, family, that was Genesis chapter number 32. God changed the trickster's name to Israel, father of nations. And here it is. We're in chapter number 35. He said that you wrestle with God and men and prevail. Your name is Israel. That was chapter 32. Now here in chapter 35, he's reverted back to being Jacob. Okay, y'all can't hear me this morning. Back in 2024, when God told you what your name, you ain't what folk call you. You who God says you are. And God gave you a new name in 2024. In 2020, hello. In 2000, hello. I'm going to stop right there. And some of us have reverted back to the old name, the old way of doing things. And yet I'm looking at you here in 2025. Who wouldn't serve a God like that? It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing. Family, God has edged out the entirety of chapter number 34. This is Jacob, the trickster, being true to his name and hanging out in the place called Shechem. In Shechem, there is no mention of God who entered into covenant with Jacob in Genesis chapter number 28. There is no mention of God in Shechem who changed Jacob's name to Israel in chapter number 32. In chapter number 34, all we hear about is the dealings of Shechem. North Oaks understand that Shechem represents chaos and carnage. Oh yeah, because while he was hanging out in a place he had no business being, a man took advantage of his daughter Dinah. And his son said, I tell you what we're going to do. If you want to make it right, all y'all men go get circumcised and you can come into covenant with us. And Simeon and Levi took their swords and went in and killed every man when they were down and out. Shechem represents chaos and carnage. Could it be that in 2024, some of us pitched our tents in Shechem? Could it be in 2024 that some of us no doubt built our homes in Shechem? God says, now is the time, North Oaks, to fulfill your vow to me. Not only do I require the consummation of your pledge, make good on your word, speaks to revisited vow. But secondly, God says, I require the consecration of your posterity. The consecration of your posterity. And this speaks to renewed relationship. Renewed relationship. It's right there in verses 2 and 3. Don't take pastor's word for it. Genesis 35, verse 2. So Jacob said to his household. Remember, God told him in verse 1, arise, go up to Bethel. Live there, make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother. Look at verse 2. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods which are among you and purify yourself and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. Now, family, Shechem was about 30 miles, or shall I say, approximately 30 miles south of Shechem was Bethel. And this is the place where God had told Jacob to go. This is the place that God originally promised Jacob, I'm going to bring you back. This is the place where Jacob made the altar, made the vow to God, set up a rock and poured oil on it. Said, if you do all this, God, you're going to be my God. Surely I'll give you a tenth. But he's hanging out 30 miles south in a place called Shechem. Bethel represents our ego antidote. If Shechem represented our ego problem, edging God out, Bethel represents our ego antidote. Look at Genesis chapter number 31, verse 13. I like the way Moses put it. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land and return to the land of your birth. There it is again. God is telling Jacob in chapter number 31. Remember your vow. Remember who I am. Get up and go back. That was chapter 31. Chapter 35. Jacob's still in Shechem. I couldn't make it up. Somebody would say, I think Jacob was hard-headed. Blanchard and Hodge conclude, quote, the key to this transformation is altering your leadership ego to exalt God only. They say we have to move from edging God out to exalting God only. We must worship him above all, rely on him as the source of our self-esteem and security, and honor him as the omniscient audience and authority for all our decisions, end quote. You want a recipe for being successful in 2025? Be obedient. In Bethel, family, Israel knew he and his family would be meeting God on holy ground and needed to, beloved, being in the will of God always warrants a purification process. Being in the will of God always warrants a purification process. Family, don't miss this. Look at verse 2. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, that's his servants, his slaves, everybody that's in his camp, put away the foreign gods which are among you and purify it. Change your clothes. Did you catch it? We need to understand, like Jacob understood, that our God is a consuming fire. And that consecration is no mere token gesture. It is a prerequisite for drawing near to a holy God. Let me break that down for you. You cut up in 2024. I know y'all were good, but that we had those areas, like me, those areas where we kind of kept our little pet. Let me talk to this side of the room. You know those little pet sins that we got? We just reach down and pet them every once in a while. If they start to meow, and we those sins. Y'all ain't gonna talk back to me today. In 2025, we are drawing near to God. That stuff need to be put away. We need to be cleansed from that stuff. We need to be consecrated from that stuff. Because drawing near to God is a serious thing. It's serious business, Paula. Drawing near to God is no token thing. And we need to understand the seriousness and the holiness of our God. God says, I brought you in 2025, but understand I expect the consummation of your pledge, speaks to a revisited oath. God says, I'm expecting the consecration of your posterity. You and everybody with you. Speaks to renew relationship. But then thirdly, God said, since I brought you in 2025, I'm also expecting the concession of your perspective. The concession of your own perspective. That kind of language will get you killed in 2025 in America. It's right there in verses 4 through 7. And this speaks to restored worship. Look at it right there. So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which they had and the rings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was near Shechem. As they journeyed, there was a great terror upon the cities which were around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Remember, Simeon and Levi went in and killed the whole town. And folk got word, and Jacob was worried about these people. You done made us stink before these people. These people are going to come after us. The Bible says God took care of it. Verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, that is, Beit El, which is in the land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him finally made it back to Canaan. He built an altar there and called the place El, Beit El, the God of Bethel, because there God had revealed to him reveal himself to him when he had fled from his brother. God says, I require the concession of your own perspective, speaks to a restored relationship. In verse 4a, the Bible says that the people surrendered their idols and their idolatrous paraphernalia to Jacob. But notice the fate of their idols. It's right there in verse 4b. So they gave to Jacob all their foreign gods and all the rings that was in their ears. Look at the second part. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was near Shechem. Jacob buried all of the idols and the idol paraphernalia in Shechem. Dan, I hate to say it, but I got to say it. Some stuff we should have buried in 2024. Maybe it's just me and you, Dan. Some stuff we should have buried in 2024. This is a pause for reflection. Somebody said, Pastor, move on to something good. Let us reflect on that. Some stuff you should have buried in 2024. And yet you pet that thing on the way out your house this morning. You pet that thing driving down the freeway on your way to church. Family, we've got to decide today that we're going to exalt God only through demonstrating radical repentance that begins with renewed thinking. Oh, I like the way Paul put it in Ephesians chapter number 4, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with lust and deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and of truth. It's an amazing thing. Repentance and purification resulted in divine provision. There in chapter number 5, Jacob said, these folk coming after me. But God promises to evoke a similar terror among those if they tried to come out of Jacob. He did the same thing for Israel later on in Exodus when they were leaving. God says this, I brought you in 2025. Northos, I'm expecting some things from you. Number one, I expect the consummation of your pledge, speaks to revisited oath. Number two, God says, I expect the consecration of your posterity, speaks to renewed relationships. God expects the concession of our own wills, our own perspective, our own way, speaks to restore relationships. Then God says, I expect the confirmation of promise. God says, I expect the confirmation of promise. It's right there in verses 9 through 13, and this speaks to the reestablishment of covenant. The reestablishment of covenant. Look at it right there, Genesis chapter number 35, verse 9. Then God appeared to Jacob again. When he came from Padan Aram and he blessed him, God said to him, your name is Jacob. You shall no longer be. Went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. Northos, as slack as Jacob has been and keeping his word to God, God maintains a sustained relationship with feeble Jacob. God continues to bless his man over and over and over and over again. Don't you just love that? Did anybody here just love that? You gotta love that. Let me recap it for you. Let me recap the timeline. Here it is. Genesis 28, 13 through 15. God promises, makes promises, 10, no doubt, to Jacob. And I will bring you back to this land. Genesis 28, 18 through 22. Jacob vows to God, if you'll do all this, then you'll be my God. And I'm going to give you a 10th. Genesis chapter number 31 and 3. God commands Jacob, return to the land of your fathers. Genesis chapter number 31, verse 13, God appears to Jacob in a dream and again commands Jacob, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, where you made a vow to me. Now arise, leave this land and return to the land of your birth. Genesis chapter number 32, verse 9, Jacob reminds God when he found himself in trouble. Oh, God, you remember you made me those 10 promises. In chapter 34, Jacob made his house in Shechem. Jacob is handling his business in Shechem. Jacob had his 401k address to come to him in Shechem. Family, just as God fulfilled his words to Jacob, in spite of Jacob, somebody ought be can testify that God has been faithful to me in spite of me. I can testify. Kathy, God has been good to Gabriel in spite of Gabriel. Somebody said, Pastor, if you when you hit a hard point like that, put yourself in there and we'll let you make it. As a matter of fact, we too can be confident that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The promises that God made to Jacob in spite of Jacob, God says, I will fulfill them. The promises that God has made to us in spite of us, he says, I will complete it. Matter of fact, Paul says you can be confident of it. God will complete that thing he started until the day of Jesus Christ. God says, I done brought you in 2025. Now, I require the consummation of your pledge, speaks to a revisited vow. God said, let me remind you of what you said. God says, I require the consecration of your posterity. You and your house, you and your whole family need to clean house. You and your whole family need to clean house. Pastor, how do I get my family to clean house? Who pay the bills? If a joker want to be dirty, tell them they got to find somewhere else to live. Oh, that's too harsh. Speaks of a new relationship. God says, I expect a concession of your own perspective. Speaks of restored work. You can't worship God doing it how you want to do it. Get your mind right. God says, I expect the confirmation of promise. Reestablishment of covenant. Fifthly and finally, God said, I expect the commemoration of praise. God says, I expect the commemoration of praise. It's right there in verse 14 and 15. This speaks to reinvigorated service. Reinvigorate. You mean, Pastor, now since God brought me in 2025, you telling me I need to serve God better? Yes! That's a good reason to serve him better. Chris, this is quiet in here today. It's one of those messages, I guess. I told somebody, I said, I think we got a good message today. They say, you always bring a good message, Pastor. That's their way of saying, oh, go easy on us. Go easy on us. North Oak, since God, right there in verse 14 and 15, Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. So Jacob named the place where God had spoken with him Beit El. Since God, through his loving kindness and his tender mercies, has ushered you and me into the dawn of a brand new year, 2025, Now is the time that we fulfill our word to God. Keep your word to God. That's all I came by to say this morning. North Oaks, keep your word to God. Don't you expect your kids to keep their word to you? You told me when you turned 18, you were getting out of here. You 25 years old. You still going in my refrigerator, eating my food, laying on my couch, watching my Netflix, giving my code out to other people. And my stuff running slow because the whole neighborhood got my Netflix code. That's funny. We too ought to offer sacrifice to our God. Jacob said, God, you do all these things. Esau finna bust my head. He said, God, I'm gonna trust you. You do this stuff for me. You keep me. You give me food. You give me clothes. You keep me safe. You bring me back. You're gonna be my God, and I'm gonna surely give you a tenth. That's like, you know, when we go in the gas station and we start asking for all those scratch offs and stuff, and before we go in, we psych ourselves up. God, you let me hit that jackpot. I win $1 million. I'm gonna give you $100,000. God, if I win $1 million, I'm gonna give you $100,000. We go in there and spend $30 on scratch off, win $10, and can't get God 99 cents. And y'all go ahead and act like y'all know what I'm talking about if you want to. Go ahead and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I like the way Paul put it in Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. He ain't saying kill yourself. Present yourself a living, a zyothusia. Old Testament, they had to kill that thing. You're going to offer something to God? You got to kill it first. A pathanesco-thusia. Here Paul says, present your bodies a zyothusia, a living sacrifice. That thing about that thing, you can do it over and over and over and over again. Okay, let me help somebody. 2023, 2024, 2025. Somebody finna throw a shoe at me. Listen, here's the gist of it. God has been good to every person in this room. And here's the reality. Here's the reality. Neither one of us deserve to see this day. I think about all the times the devil done tried to kill me when I wasn't doing nothing wrong. But when I stacked that up to all the times that I was showing up acting crazy, and devil said, I'm going to get him now for sure. He lick it up. But God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have brought us into yet another year, giving us yet one more opportunity to not look to you and say, God, what can you do for me in 2025? But say, God, in 2025, I get another chance to keep my word to you. I got to be about my Father's business. I want to keep my vow to you, God, because you didn't have to let me see it. Father God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I just want to say, wherever you are, you were here today, and it is a big deal to us. As a pastor of this congregation, this great church, I want to say thank you for joining us. And if you're ever in the Houston area, I am inviting you to come to our church and worship with us. As a matter of fact, I'd like you to come and shake my hand. I'd like to personally welcome you to the life of this God's church, North Oaks Baptist Church. I love pastoring this church because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Amen.